I was taking a service a couple of weeks ago in a senior citizen's residential home. And after the service, one of the ladies there, who obviously wasn't very accustomed to going to church, came up to me and said, "I am very angry." She said, "I am angry with you." That's a very good thing for a preacher to hear, keeps him humble. So I said, "Why?" Well, she had some theological problem. And then she said, "But you prayed, and you said something wrong in your prayer." I said, "Well, what was that?" She said, "You prayed, 'Lead us not into temptation.'" Well, I said, "What's wrong with that?" She said, "That's not in the Bible." So I opened up Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. There it was. She says, "Well, it's been translated wrong." She said, "It can't say that. Jesus never said that." She said, "It's not God who leads us into temptation." She says, "That would take away my free will." And you know, there was something correct in what she said. When we are tempted, it's not God that tempts us, is it? It's something inside us. And James knew all about that. James wrote in chapter 1, verse 13, "God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." Now, I wonder, as you hear those words, if it rings a little chord in your mind, a chord of experience. Haven't we all experienced that process of a little desire dragging us away, enticing us, giving birth to something that afterwards we regret? And then it leads, in many instances, to spiritual death. But it's not just ourselves that's responsible for this process of temptation. You remember in that prayer that we prayed, we said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Many translate that slightly differently, and I think it's a legitimate translation. Deliver us from the evil one. The evil one is there. He is wanting to tempt us. He is wanting to cast us down so that when the temptation comes, we fall into sin. We are facing, as we were reminded in Marian's prayer, we are facing great powers of spiritual evil that are seeking to cast us down, and we need the whole armor of God to protect us against it. We ignore Satan at our peril. But there is someone else who is part of this, who is involved in this process of temptation. And I find this amazing. You remember when Jesus started his ministry? He went out into the desert and was tempted 40 days by the devil. And actually, we're in Lent now, which is the time of the year when we remember particularly the temptations of Jesus, how he was tempted, how he responded by using the Word of God to overcome temptation, and how he had a great victory over it. But who led him into the desert to be tempted? Remember what it says? He was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert, where the devil came and tempted him. The Spirit of God led him to the environment where he was to be tempted. You remember Job. You remember how Satan said to God, Job doesn't serve you for nothing. Take away his wealth, take away his family, take away everything he's got, and he'll deny you. And what did God say? God said, all right, Satan, you try. You try it out. And he let Satan tempt Job. Amazing, isn't it? That God should allow it to happen. That God should seem to will it. And Job went through that temptation. He was tempted to doubt God through all his trials, just like we are often tempted to doubt God when we are being tried by some sort of test that comes into our lives. And he was victorious. And at the end, last chapter of the book of Job, we get a picture of wonderful deliverance. First of all, his humble repentance, and then God blessing him with more than he had had before. It's the same with Jesus. At the end of the 40 days in the wilderness, he went back to Nazareth in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he began his ministry full of the Spirit of God, of establishing the kingdom of God. And it's the same with us. God allows temptation to come into our lives so that we might be greatly strengthened. Someone has said, to meet and to master temptation seems to be the main means of strengthening character. John Bunyan said, temptation is that by which a man is made an athlete of God. Wouldn't you like to be an athlete of God? Well, resist temptation, overcome it. Pray, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil when the tempter comes. How does God answer that prayer? I believe he answers it by challenging us with four commands. And the first command is wake up. The second command is pray. The third command is run. And the fourth command is trust Jesus. First command, wake up. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch, keep awake, said Jesus to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. There's a lion out there. There's a lion here in the church seeking to destroy us, seeking to disrupt that wonderful relationship that God wants to have with us, that relationship of love. The devil is prowling around. This is our greatest danger. And so easily we say, it really doesn't matter if I do this thing, if I think this thought, if I say this word. It's so enticing. Why not? Everyone does it. Everyone is doing it, like those friends of David in the cave. Look, this is the obvious thing to do, man. Do it. Did you hear the great golfer Tiger Woods the other evening? I felt sorry for him, and yet I could sympathize with him. He was talking about his acts of adultery. Very sad. I taught myself, he said, that normal rules don't apply. Have you ever said that to yourself? When you're tempted, the normal rules don't apply. It doesn't matter. Don't apply these rules now. Go ahead and do it. That passage which Robert read to us in 1 Corinthians 10 about the children of Israel in the wilderness, in their wanderings. and how they were tempted. They were tempted to idolatry, and they suffered for it. They were tempted to adultery, and 23,000 of them were killed. They were tempted to deny God. They were tested to lay aside their faith in God, and they suffered. They were tempted to grumble against God. And he goes on, and he tells us, he says, these things are examples and warnings for us. So, he says, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. We had some great friends when we were in Africa, living in a semi-desert area, and they built a house. They were servants of God like we were, and they built this house. There was no electricity, no power. So they had a refrigerator which was lit by a flame, and the wick was fed by paraffin oil. And they had a stove, and they would bring in bottled gas for the stove, connected up, and that was their cooking fuel. But the rubber tube connection of the stove just slightly moved, and gas began to escape. Nobody knew about it. Everybody was asleep. And the gas spread very slowly. It was heavier than air, so it spread over the floor, more and more gas leaking out very slowly until it came up to the level of the flame underneath the fridge. And then you can imagine what happened. A violent explosion. That's what temptation is. Just a slow leak coming out, spreading, invading, until suddenly it explodes. And that's what James says is the result of this process, this conceiving of sin, this enticing, giving birth, resulting in sin. And the end of it all, he says, is death. Wake up to it, says Jesus. Be self-controlled and alert. Watch and pray. Pray, he says. That's the second defense that we have against temptation. To pray often. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. What did the disciples do in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus said that? They went to sleep, didn't they? What do we do? So often we sleep, and Jesus says, watch and pray. I find in this context I need to pray in two ways. To pray daily. To recognize weaknesses, channels that the devil uses for temptation. Mine are different from yours, but don't we all have our own personal temptations? We need to recognize them. A sharp tongue, a quick temper, a lustful eye, an enslaving addiction, a consuming pride, disdainful contempt, judgmental spirit, malicious gossip, self-centered anger, burning resentments. Do you know that? I certainly do. I have to struggle with it. Things that people said about me. Something somebody did to harm me, to hurt me, perhaps years ago, comes back. Can be a temptation. To resent, be full of resentment. Petty dishonesty. The idolatry of good and normal activities that squeeze God out. I love rugby football. Yesterday there were two great matches of rugby football. You know, I needed to settle down and prepare for this service yesterday, and there was this temptation to spend all my time watching rugby. Well, I watched a bit of it, but praise God, I was able to resist the temptation to spend all my time on it. But you know, these things that please us, these things that we enjoy, can be a great temptation because they can cut us off from the experience of God, of knowing God and delighting in God. Most of us have these recurring temptations. You know what yours are. Pray daily that God will deliver you from them. And then secondly, in this matter of prayer, cry out in crisis. Remember Peter, he saw the waves, he saw the wind, he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus is always ready to hear that prayer. When we're conscious of temptation flooding into our hearts, "Lord, save me." And that hand will reach out and grab us, pick us up, put us back in the boat, and deliver us. There is a little baby crying. Mum thinks, "What's the baby crying about? Hungry? Dirty nappy? Tired? Got some wind that needs to be brought up?" Mum will find out what's wrong and put it right, because the baby cries. We too are little, weak, helpless in the face of these strong powers of temptation. We cry out to our Lord, and he will deliver us. Pray often. Thirdly, run away. We read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Well, I like the old authorized version translation of that, which is very legitimate, I believe. He will provide a way to escape. God is in control, even of the temptation process. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can resist. Wonderful promise, isn't it? God will enable you. God will open up a way to escape somehow or other. We need to be careful, of course, not to put ourselves in an environment where we can fall. Here is a recovered alcoholic. He'd be wise not to go near a public house, wouldn't he? Here is someone who has problems with his mind, thinking about all sorts of evil things. He needs to be careful what he allows himself to watch on the television, what he allows himself to read in the newspapers or in some novel or other. We need to be careful. If you don't want the devil to tempt you with forbidden fruit, you'd better keep out of his orchard, says someone. That's very wise. We need to be like Joseph. The classic Sunday school story. Here he is, tempted by this woman. She grabs his cloak. He slips it off his shoulders and he runs. And that's what God would enable us to do when we are tempted to run. We need to keep awake. We need to pray often. We need to run away. And fourthly, we need to trust Jesus, to draw on the power of the risen Christ. He knows what it is to be tempted, and he is here with us. The writer to Hebrews says in chapter 4, verse 14, "Let us hold firmly to the faith we possess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach with confidence the throne of grace so that we may find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus says, I've been there. I know what it's like to be tempted. I've experienced it, and I didn't fall. I have the strength to overcome, and I can give that strength to you. You know, the Bible is full of weak people. This is what I love about the Bible. Even its greatest heroes, we read about their weaknesses. And always, God is there, showing people that he can make them strong. Lord, says one person, one king of old, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you. Joan and I were listening to a sermon on this subject the other day, a Scottish preacher, and he was describing his going out with his small girl, going off to school, and they had to cross a road, a busy road. And he said to his little girl, he said, now, don't you ever step off the pavement into the road without holding my hand. Traffic is there. Traffic that could knock that little child down. The little child could turn her eyes away and not see the traffic. Great danger for the child. Never go into the road without holding my hand. The temptations are there, whizzing around us, whirling past us, threatening us. This terrific danger. Never go anywhere, says Jesus, without holding my powerful hand. I can hold you. I can take you through. I can deliver you. I can strengthen you. Let us talk to him. Lord Jesus, we fear temptation, and yet, Lord, we thank you that with you beside us, we can overcome it. With you inside us, we can resist, and we can be pure and spotless. You can take away from us the love of sinning. You can make us holy, righteous people like yourself. Help us, Lord, to take hold of your provision. Lead us not into temptation. Amen.